When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thrill seekers do some crazy stuff. Some are things that most people would never even consider doing. I'm Lexi, and this is Delightfully Different. When I met my next guest, he told me all about his unique lifestyle. I told him it was something that I'd never considered doing, but if offered the chance, I'd have to say yes. A year later, he made the offer, and I did it.
My name's Jeremiah, and I am a bungee jumping person.
A bungee jumping person. That's not even how you said you were going to say it.
I know. I'm a human fisherman, and I use a big, long bungee cord, and I get to catch a fish.
So bungee jumping. First, explain exactly what bungee jumping is, because there's a lot of different jumping activities that people can do. What is specifically bungee jumping?
Essentially, you're attaching a series of rubber bands. So it's not just one rubber band, but for the purposes of describing it, you're attaching a rubber band to your body and attaching it to a fixed structure, usually a bridge, and then you jump off it for the shits, kicks, and giggles of jumping off it.
And when you say rubber band, it's a cord. It's a cord that's got some pull to it.
Yeah, so essentially there's two. It's funny, a friend of mine actually sent me this video the other day and was like, is this for real? And I was like, yep, 100% real. So the activity of bungee jumping was taken from a tribe in, I think it's Papua New Guinea, where the guys, like, they kind of make this fucking tower and then tie vines to their ankles, and then they dive off of the thing, and there's like a steep embankment at the bottom, and they dive off, and the vines, you know, it's funny, the vines do not prevent them from hitting the ground. They still hit the fucking ground. Google a video of it, and it's like, it's a rite of passage for, you know, to manhood for men. And then also it's like a sacrifice to the gods for a good harvest. I don't know, sacrifice some brain cells or whatever when you smack the dirt. But it's literally they're bungee jumping off of a big tower made of, you know, logs, essentially, with vines attached to their ankles. And but you do, like, the vines don't have any stretch, but they do prevent you from just pile driving into the ground. You just kind of swing and smack the ground. Oh. It's very, yeah, dude, it's kind of barbaric, but so nobody knows who, like, nobody's credited necessarily for coming up with bungee jumping, but AJ Hackett, who's the famous Kiwi who has a bunch of sites all over New Zealand, and he's got sites kind of all over the world at this point. My understanding is that he credits himself with coming up with bungee jumping and then calls himself the godfather of bungee jumping. Because he saw the New Guinea tribe doing this and was like, oh, we could do that with a rubber band, right? So now fast forward to now, obviously we don't use vines, but the there's two styles of bungee cord systems on the planet. There's what is called the Kiwi cord set, because that's what all the Kiwis use, and it's essentially hundreds of strands of rubber wrapped with more rubber to make one rubber band.
Oh,
right. And
okay.
so anybody that's ever rock climbed or done anything, you know, where your life's depending on gear, like, you don't ever rely on just one piece of gear, right? You want redundancy. And so if you've ever seen, a YouTube video of a bungee cord breaking, it's that style. Cause if that one cord, if that one thick grouping of rubber breaks, you've got no backup. There's, you know, you're done. There was just a video that I saw on like NPR or something a couple weeks ago of a cord snapping in Thailand. And it was the same thing. That is that cord set where it's just one cord. So there's that cord set. And then there's the multi-cord set. And the multi-cord set is what, you know, I threw you off a bridge with. That's what is like the industry standard today. And what it is you take hundreds of strands of rubber, and then you wrap them with a braided nylon sheath, just like a climbing rope has that nylon sheath on the outside. So, and then each individual cord can hold 1500 pounds. The rubber can hold 1000, and then the sheath can hold 500. So each individual cord can hold 1500 pounds, and you just group them together, and you just keep adding cords, and you can put 30 fucking cords together if you want to make one big super thick ass cord. And the company that I used to work for in LA called Bungee America, like, you know, we've bungee jumped a car for a car commercial. You bungee jump NFL linebackers. Like, there is no weight limit. You just keep adding cords, more and more and more and more cords. The average person, you know, you don't want to jump on 30 cords, because that's just going to be like jumping on a static line with no stretch to it, right?
Okay.
So what we did at Bungee America is, it's basically you factor in like 45 pounds per cord. So, you know, somebody that's 90 pounds or lighter is going to jump on two cords, right? So you're never jumping on just one cord. So 90 pounds or lighter, two cords. Well, that cord system can hold 3,000 pounds worth of force, and a 80 pound person is not going to create that much force, right? And then when you go from 90 pounds to 135, anybody in that range, you're jumping on three. Anywhere from 135 to 180, you're jumping on four, right? And you just keep getting bigger and, you know, adding more and more cords. And then there's two types of cords. One that my old boss makes called Thunder Cord, and that stuff triples its length. And then another one that people use is called Mil-Spec, and that doubles its length. And Mil-Spec was designed to catch aircraft on an aircraft carrier. So like when you see a jet land on an aircraft carrier, that little cord that it hooks, and it just, you know, and it kind of like stops the jet.
Okay.
That's what Mil-Spec was designed for. So, but then, you know, bungee jumping people have found like, oh, you know, we could use that. So essentially that's what it is. Across the board, there's two ways to bungee jump: either a single cord, which is not a good idea, or multiple cords, which is a very good idea. And or in Peru, dude, I just jumped off their fucking their bungee jumping site in Cusco, and they make their own cord.
Yeah, dude.
And I was like, okay, yep, checks out. It looks, honestly, it looked not terrible, but it was actually, they put a flat piece of webbing, like rock climbing webbing, right? So they put a flat piece of webbing and then wrap that with a shit ton of rubber. So it's still just one rubber band, okay, right? But then it has webbing in the center, which is a static, you know, thing. So it's kind of like a backup. So, you know, if I had my choice to jump on something that didn't have that piece of webbing versus something that did, oh yeah, hell yeah, jump on the thing with the webbing. But it was, because I have jumped in New Zealand a handful of places, and it's very cushy. That's a very cushy ride. And the one in Peru, not so cushy, because you kind of, you know, you stretch it out and you hit that thang at the end, like the, you know, the full extension. And it's kind of a little, you know, jostling.
It's not, but as, you don't bounce back and
exactly.
Up and down.
Okay. Yeah. It's not as smooth, but it's safer, you know, but, and you know, and you'd like, unless you jump hundreds and hundreds of times, like I have, then you don't really notice the difference between any of the cords. You know, you're just like, your body's like, what the fuck's going on anyway? So
do you know how many times exactly that you've jumped?
1 million. No, I
feel like
I don't.
It is a million.
No.
It's enough that you've lost count.
Yeah, it's probably around 1,000. Yeah, somewhere
when
around 1,000.
When was the very first time that you did it? Like, where were you? What made you do it the first time?
Yeah, dude. So all of my friends that I've like thrown off of bridges, you know, where the legality is in the gray area, right? It's not legal, not illegal, whatever. I always tell them how jealous I am of their first time bungee jumping, because I was like, you got an epic story, man. Like you, for instance.
It's
you
pretty have a epic, fucking, yeah.
You have a way more epic story than me. Dude, mine was in a car dealership parking lot in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Oh.
Right off the side of the 25 freeway, I-25. And it was like they just set up a crane to drum up business, you know? So they just jumped out of a crane basket from like 120 feet or something above the pavement in a fucking parking lot. And
was it
for
legal?
Like, yeah, totally. Yeah. No, it was like, you know, it was set up as almost like it'd be the same thing as bringing like a carnival ride to your car dealership parking lot.
Okay.
And it attracted business, and it attracted me and my brother, and we went over there and did it. And yeah, it was definitely less than epic, and it was still scary as fuck though. And I totally
closed. Scary.
Yeah, I closed my eyes because it was like my brother went first, you know, and he jumped right away. And then it was my turn, and I was just like, "Holy shit, I don't think I can do this." But I'm like, "Well, my brother just did it, so I better just fucking man up and do it." And so I closed my eyes and screamed and jumped, and then I was like, "Wow, that was a lot of fun." And then I moved to Los Angeles, and you know. And one of the good things about big cities is you can do any damn thing you want. There's, you know, there's every good musician goes to LA. There's all kinds of shit to do. And my brother was actually, I can't remember if he had moved there already. Yeah, no, yeah, he had moved there. So we were both living there. And I was like, I wonder if we can bungee jump here. And I looked up, and sure enough, there's a bungee company, you know, and I come to find it's only, you know, one of like maybe five in the whole country, you know, like it's not very common. But so we went out, bungee jumped off the bridge of nowhere in LA or outside LA. And on the hike out, I was literally like, fuck, man, I want to do this again, but I don't want to pay for it. Like, how do I make that happen? And the dude, Alex, who was the bungee jumping instructor that day, I talked to him on the hike out, because it's a 5 mile hike into this canyon to get to the bridge. And so on the hike out, I was just like, dude, how'd you get this job? And like, how could I get this job? And he was like, he's like, well, you know, what kind of stuff do you like to do? And I was like, well, you know, I'm a mountain biker and I rock climb. And he's like, oh, stop right there, man. He's like, if you're a rock climber, dude, that's this is all the same shit. You saw the setup, and it is. And I was like, cool. So, you know, I called up the boss, and he was like, yeah, man, come out and you can work for free for like 3 weekends, like training. And I was like, but I get to jump, right? And he's like, oh yeah, you always get to jump. And literally in my head, I was like, you don't even need to pay me, bro. I just want to jump, you know? And then of course, you know, I get paid. But yeah, then I started working for him, and I was, you know, fucking 5.5 years before I left LA. So I was out there like pretty much every weekend for almost 6 years. And then we did a lot of, stunts and stunt rigging and shit like that for the TV and film industry. So,
and you were in a commercial. Yeah. Do I remember you telling me you were in a commercial bungee jumping?
Well, yeah, I've been in like a handful of commercials bungee jumping. Yeah, yeah.
For like, yeah, and stuff.
that one was after my time. But it was kind of interesting. I think it was a Ford, like one of the little Ford. Tiny, the little Ford, I don't know if it's not Fiat, is a different thing, like Ford Fiesta or some shit, like one of those little cars.
Yeah.
It was something, some sort of a ad campaign where if you clicked like or something like that on their website, the car would inch forward, inch forward, inch forward. And they had it set up on a whole bunch of crates in Long Beach, like in the dock or in the harbor. Hey. And it was like, you know, it was like live stream thing. And eventually the thing just rolled off the dock and bungee jumped and it was hooked up to the cords already. But I did like ones that I personally did the jumps for. There was one that was like a Sony PlayStation one. We did quite a few Jack in the Box ones, but Ron would usually do that jump just because it was fun. And he got to wear the Jack in the Box hat or, you know, fucking hood thing. And then for Jackass, one of the Jackass movies, there's a reverse bungee where Steve-O is in a outhouse.
Yeah,
he's in an outhouse and they hook it up and it's a reverse bungee. We did that one. That was actually after I had left L.A. But yeah, I mean, it's Los Angeles. Anything since the early 90s when Ron opened his company, anything in Los Angeles that has anything to do with bungee jumping, like, you know, guaranteed he rigged it.
What you were doing there was legal, obviously.
It was industry.
And you were working for a company. But this isn't necessarily a thing that's legal everywhere. And when you and I went, you took me bungee jumping in 2021 and we jumped off the Malad Gord Bridge in Idaho. And it was explained to me by you that this isn't necessarily illegal, but it's also not necessarily legal. What are the legalities in the United States to do this? Like, you can't just go up to the top of a building and jump off it.
Right. So I have no association. I have no association with Bungee America after I left, because Rod would fucking be pissed. But it's that's the thing. So believe me when I say I've dealt with law enforcement probably 60-70% of the jumps that I've done. Ideally you'd rather not deal with them. So right. You try to get in, get out, get on with your day, you know, whatever. But in Idaho, for instance, because of Twin Falls and the Perrine Bridge, it's like, it's basically accepted. One of my buddies that has a company there, Eric Lyman is his name, and he's been in the game for freaking, I think, just as long as Ron. He's been in the game for 20 plus years. Back in the day, the town of Twin Falls was like, you know, arresting people left and right for base jumping or bungee jumping off of that bridge, off of the Perrine Bridge. And according to Eric, like, literally the cops would come on and they'd like tell him to get off, and he'd just be like politely like, cool, you know, we'll get off, but we'll be back later today. And they're like, no, you can't come back. And he's like, yeah, we can. Essentially the law enforcement just got frustrated and they had a town meeting and said, why are we like turning our head at all this revenue? Like, yeah, there'd been accidents with base jumpers and people had died, but nobody sued the town. Right. It's one of these activities where, you know, the consequences of mistakes and it's your fault. Nobody else's. And so the town of Twin Falls was like, fuck it. Let's just welcome this with open arms. And so that's why Twin Falls became the base jumping capital of the nation, because they have this beautiful bridge and they allow people to base jump off all day long, anytime, like totally cool. And so then people come from all over the world. You know, that's the spot to go. Well, when it comes to bungee jumping, they actually don't allow bungee jumping off of the Perrine Bridge except for one day a year, and they call it Bridge Day. And the reason there, and it makes sense, is that, you know, the base jumpers, you know, it doesn't really work if somebody's bungee gear is hanging from the bridge and then somebody else wants to base jump, right? And then maybe they get tangled in their shit.
Right.
So, the loophole is that you're not allowed to anchor anything to the bridge. And the loophole in that is Eric actually has bungee jumped off of that before by taking his anchor straps, his crane lifting straps, and just wrapping them around the railing and then anchoring them to a big dude. So you call that a meat anchor. You're making a meat anchor. And it's actually, once you loop it around the railing a few times, it's totally fine. But he said he had a cop come up, literally walk onto the bridge, say a word. He walked onto the bridge and he looked at the setup, and then he just looked at Eric and he's like, nice loophole. Then he just walked off and he didn't do shit because that was the loophole.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
I'm Lexi, and this is Delightfully Different. I'm talking with Jeremiah, a bungee jumper.
Actually, I've jumped bridges now in 8. So, yeah, New Mexico, Colorado,
California,
Idaho, Alaska. Am I missing one? 6 or 7? Yeah, something like that. There's not a single state in the nation that has anything on their citation books that say no bungee jumping, right?
Gotcha.
There's nothing. It's not a common thing. It's definitely not a common thing, you know, and it sure as hell is not common enough to have something on your books. So no, it is not necessarily illegal. Where they can get you is one citation in all my years of what we call pirate jumping or rogue bungee jumping, right? Where I'm not working with a company. So ever since I left LA, I got one citation, and that was up here in Alaska. And we got a $60 fucking citation, each of us. And the citation says pedestrians must obey pedestrian and traffic signs, and basically jaywalking. So the guy gave us a fucking ticket for jaywalking. And then in the subtext, it said bungee jumping. So it was like, you know, we got a jaywalking ticket and then it said bungee jumping. And the only reason we got that is that fucking dude, Joel something or other, just was like a huge dick. And he was known for being a huge dick. And he was trying to, and I found this out from friends that lived in the area, that lived in Healy, which is where this happened. The dude was like trying to climb the hierarchy of trooperism and by handing out the most citations. And that summer, it was like mid-June, and he already had the most citations handed out in the state of Alaska as a trooper. And he's in the middle of nowhere. And that's when we found out that it was like, oh, dude, like, don't even give that guy the chance to give it. He'll give you a citation for anything that he can because he's trying to like climb the ranks. And it's like, cool. But I mean, I had some friends. This is the perfect story to explain how much people really don't give a shit about bungee jumping. I had some friends try to bungee jump the Golden Gate Bridge. And this was like just after 9/11. And part of his crew, they'd never done an illegal jump. So they were kind of like overwhelmed and excited in the moment. And they weren't like focused and moving quickly. And they didn't get set up very quickly. And they didn't even get a jump off before all of a sudden fucking Coast Guard, San Francisco PD and FBI all converged on the bridge. Right. And so they all got arrested. Right. And, while they're standing there in their handcuffs, an FBI agent comes up to my buddy and like, he's like, hey man, you know, let me know if you're ever planning one of these again. I'd love to like, you know, be a part. And he hands him his card. It was an FBI agent. He literally slips my buddy in the car. And my buddy's thinking like, well, cool. Can you help me out of these fucking handcuffs right now? And then they got to go to court, and they go to court a little while, you know, month later or whatever. And the judge like looks at the case and just like, like chuckles and like shakes his head basically, and just gives them like, gives each of them like 20 hours community service. And that was it. Right. And that was the Golden Gate Bridge. Right.
And lots of people are can see you there. It's not like it's a separate private place.
Right. And then, you know, and then my only real run in that ended with anything was I got a $60 citation because he happened to, you know, I happened to have a trooper that was an asshole. But I've had cops come up and I mean, I've had like it literally depends on how you handle it and then and what sort of a mood they're in, because they can't just right away write you a ticket for bungee jumping, because that's there is no, you know, citation number there. That's you. They got to say you did something else wrong. Usually what happens, and this is what my buddy Eric told me, is like, you know, if you're a dick and they just say, hey, get off the bridge, and then either you don't or you argue or whatever, then they can be like, oh, you're disobeying an order from a law officer, you know, or whatever. But generally speaking, they don't care in Idaho. Oh, that's what I was gonna say, dude. So in Idaho, it's pretty much kind of like, okay. You know, like I've jumped a bridge outside of Boise and, you know, I've had cops come on almost every single time that I've gone there, and like, they'll come on and they'll, you know, sometimes they'll check everybody's ID just to make sure there's no like warrants out or whatever. And then I had a guy come on his motorcycle. And then like walk up and we all went to get our IDs and he's like, oh man, no, I just want to watch, you know? And then he just like hung out. And then we watched one of the GoPro clips later on. And I was the one jumping and I had the GoPro on and I was looking at him and you could see all of a sudden the dude notices that I'm looking at him and he's on tape and he like covers his name badge and like scoots out of the fucking frame, you know? But generally speaking, no, like people do not, you know, they do not care. It's all a matter of, you know, how do you handle it? How do you handle yourself when when law enforcement decides to talk to you? Which is also why I always tell people, I was like, look, if we do have to talk to somebody, nobody says shit. I was like, I am the only one that talks to them, because I've been there, done that, and know what to say.
Yeah, that's what you told me on the way up there when we went, when we were driving to the Malad Gord Bridge. You were like, the police might come, and if they do, just be cool. Don't say anything. I'll do all the talking. And then while we were there, we got up there early before anybody was there, and we all went and did our jump. And then before I knew it, there were tourists, because we were in a state park. And all the tourists started stopping and asking me questions about what was going on.
Oh, yeah.
Filming. And there was the highway right behind us. And I saw cops go by. They did. I was like, they did not stop. Nobody cared. And we were out there for like 8 hours or so. Well, you guys jumped over and over again. I only did it once. It was overwhelming. When I was getting ready to jump, and I obviously had never done it before. First of all, you went first. You set up the bungee jump, the cords. You did a whole bunch of math the day before. You did measurements and you knew exactly what to do. And then you insisted on going first. And why is that?
Oh, because, I mean, if anybody's going to die, it should probably be me. You know? Oh, who knows what's going to happen? No. So people are all like, what people don't understand with bungee jumping, right, is it's not like you can't adjust the length of your cords, right? Like you make a set of cords, or you have somebody make the set, you know, who makes it. But you can't extend them you can't shorten them or lengthen them. You know, if you have a couple sets, you know, so I've got a set that doubles its length and it's 70 feet long. So, and the, you know, people are always like, well, how do you know what they're going to do? It's like, you know how they behave. Like that's really what it is. You know how they behave. So that 70 feet is going to become 140 feet because it doubles its length. And then I have a short set of cords that's 25 feet, but it triples its length. So it's going to become 75 feet. So you just know that that's what's going to happen. So where your measurements are important is as long as whatever you're jumping off of is more than 140 feet, you know, then you're good. But if it's like, you know, if it's like, oh, this thing is 145 feet, like, well, you might want to really double, you know, you might want to check that, because that could, you know, you could be grazing the ground.
So you're basically the human tester.
Well, no. So the reason that I always want to jump first is I want to, you know, like with ours, I wanted to see where my recoil bounce went. That's kind of the main thing is,
it's the
you
coming
know, to
back
see,
up, not the going down.
Well, it's the whole thing. You know, it's the whole thing. Just to see where the swing goes, to see how high you come back up, you know, those factors. And the first time you ever jump a bridge too, like you know, you don't know those things yet. And so I know that I can jump off and do like just a very calm back dive. So jumping off back to earth, belly to sky. So then at the bottom, that's the exact position I'm in. And I'm also looking at a bunch of different spots to be like, okay, you know, and, cause what you're trying to establish is where is my, you know, pocket of safe, my safe air pocket. Right. And how big is it, you know, and what you want is you want a gigantic, big, safe air pocket, where like, no, you could jump in any damn direction and you're not going to hit anything. Right. Where some bridges, like for instance, if you got an arch, right, and you're jumping, if you don't jump straight out from an arch so that you kind of create a nice swing underneath, right, that's your safe air pocket. But if you don't jump your first jump at a diagonal, the first recoil bounce is going to send you back the opposite direction of the diagonal, which is the one of the sides of the arch, one of the supports. So some bridges, some bridges, it's very important to jump at a specific direction. The one that we jumped, the Millard Gorge, no, that is just a flat bridge, you know. You could jump in any fucking direction, no problem. There's one up here that I jumped last spring in Alaska that I'm very proud of because I can almost without a doubt say nobody's ever jumped that thing because it's short. It's only 92 foot tall bridge. And then the canyon that it's in is like super fucking narrow. Like we're talking, you have a 30 foot wide safety air pocket on your initial bounce. So yeah, it's very, very important that you jump in a specific direction, your first jump. Your first push, so that your first drop and your full extension is in that nice safety air. But the cool thing, like, you know, when people do rope swings, right? Like rope swings are fun and all, but you're in the danger zone if you're trying to avoid stuff in a canyon. You're in the danger zone the entire time because you're there. Where with a bungee jump, every bounce you're coming out of the danger zone because you're recoiling back out. Right? Make sense?
Yeah.
Kind of.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
When it came my turn to jump off of that bridge, you wanted me to go as quickly as possible. I wanted to soak it in, but you had a specific reason for wanting me to go quickly. And number one, it was just in case the police show up, you wanted me to get a jump in. And then what was the second reason?
Because it's easy to balk. It's easy to, let your let that inner fear bug win and take over. And so, you know, in all my years of throwing people off bridges, I've developed what me and my buddies, you do it, we call our bag of Jedi mind tricks. So I've got a pretty big bag of Jedi mind tricks at this point. And, you know, everybody, you know, not everybody needs the same Jedi mind trick. You know, somebody might need me to just whisper in the ear, like, bro, stop being a bitch. Your friends are going to laugh at you. Just fucking close your eyes and go, you know, and then they go or whatever. Or, you know, they just, you know, a lot of times what I do is I get in their brain and do the thinking for them. Because the moment you, as you experience, the moment you climb over the railing or whatever, and now the reality of the situation hits you full on, your brain just shuts down. And you're like, I don't know my name or date of birth or where I am. You know, like you just kind of go blank.
Your natural instinct is saying, get the hell back over. What are you doing? Get over. What? Climb back over.
Over and
over again, everything inside.
and the longer, essentially, the longer you hang out in that position, the longer you're going to, freeze, and the more you're going to freeze. And so, again, from throwing tons of people off bridges, I can see it in somebody's eyes and body language, like damn near instantly, like, oh, okay. This person, the longer they stand here, the worse it's going to get for them. So let's just do it. And so what I tell people is, I just, you know, a lot of times it's just, nope, yep, just listen to me. You're going to look there, and then here we go. And then people always ask me, like, well, I don't want the countdown, you know, and they're like, yeah, you do. Right. Because the countdown, and I always tell people, it's not a countdown from 10, because that's too long. That takes too long. You know, you could have like 50 different thoughts in that 10 seconds, but you don't count down from 3 because that's too short, but you count down from 5 because 5 is long enough for the person to go, well, wait, I don't know. All right, fuck it. Like it gives you just enough time to say, no, yes, no. Okay. Maybe. All right. Okay. And then they go. So
Jeremiah, we've only got 5 minutes left. And so I got a couple of last questions to ask you. When I went that bungee jumping that day, it was emotionally overwhelming. Like I've never felt anything like that in my entire life. That fear, looking down, the whole thing was just incredible. The feeling was incredible for me. Do you still get that feeling when you jump after 1,000 times?
Absolutely. Yes. That's the most asked question, is like, you know, does it still scare the shit out of you? And I'm like, yes, 150%. That's the whole reason I still do it, because it's still scary. It's just that now, like, I come up with creative ways to throw myself off the bridge. Like, people think that flips and stuff are scary. It's like, nah, I mean, they're fun, but you don't see anything, you know? So now we, you know, my favorite thing that we recently came up with is combining a rope swing into a bungee jump. So you're attached to a rope with a belay device or the rappel device, and you do a rope swing and then just rappel off the end of the rope, and you're also attached to the bungee cord. So it's a rope swing into a bungee. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to trick your brain, you know, and do things that your brain is used to doing. Like, one of the best ones, we call it over the fence, where you hop over the rail if you're jumping over a rail. Because your body is expecting that your feet are going to hit the ground. So when you hop over and then your feet don't hit anything but air, your brain is just like, what the hell just happened? But yeah, no, it's bungee jumping is probably one of the most cleansing things you can do for your mental state. Because it sends a bunch of natural endorphins through your body, and you just feel cleansed. You know, it's a rush. And I've never had anybody be like, damn, I really wish I didn't do that. Like, never. Everybody's I've definitely had people like, I will never fucking do that again. Like, but I'm really glad I did. Yeah, you
exactly. Right. I didn't want to do it again, but I loved that I did it, and I loved that I got to experience it. I understand why you want to do it, but I don't want to do it over and over again.
It's, I mean, you know, I always tell people, I was like, dude, if I could just bungee jump every morning rather than drink coffee, like I would, you know, like it, it wakes you up the whole rest of that day. You're just like, oh man. Yeah. It's good for your state of mind. Yeah.
Do you consider yourself an adrenaline junkie? Cause you do a lot of stuff other than bungee jumping.
Oh, for sure. Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%.
Bungee jumping the one that gives you the biggest rush though?
100%. Yep. Yeah. because it's a different kind of rush. Like you're not worried about safety with bungee jumping, right? Like, yeah, there's rigging involved and it's very simple rigging. It's almost too simple is what I always tell people. So you got to really, you know, you really cross your I's and dot your T's and whatever and get it super dialed. But once everything's hooked up, it's as safe as can be. It's out of all the ground rush sports, it's the safest by far. It's just that a bunch of dipshits in the 80s made their own homemade cords and had no idea how long they would stretch. So then a bunch of people died and then bungee jumping got a bad stigma and people think it's unsafe. And it's like, no, it's actually way safer than skydiving. Talk to any skydiver or base jumper. If they bungee jumped, most of them will agree that bungee jumping is scarier. All of my friends that are base jumpers.
All you guys told me that. Every one of you guys that did all of the things told me that this is the scariest one and you couldn't believe it was the first one of all the things that I was doing.
Yeah. Well, it's because you're closer to the ground. Like you get way closer to the ground.
Yeah.
And then it's not just the initial drop. Then it's the first recoil bounce. You're out of control. And then you get another drop and then another recoil bounce. You're out of control. But, you know, the whole thing is done in under a minute. It's all over and done with in under a minute. But, you know, and you're safe the entire time. And with a base jump or a skydive or anything, you know, once you pull your parachute, now the real excitement begins because now you got to land yourself without breaking your legs, right? Where with a bungee jump, if you set everything upright, you're fine. You're not going to hit shit. Like you are totally fine.
Well, it was probably the biggest thrill of my life. And I appreciate you taking me along to do that. It was it's a story that I tell.
Hell yeah.
And thank you for letting me interview you about bungee jumping today.
Yeah, thanks.
It might sound crazy, but Jeremiah's right. Bungee jumping is significantly safer than a lot of other extreme activities and some mundane everyday activities. You have a 1 in 500,000 chance of dying from bungee jumping. Hang gliders have a 1 in 560 chance. Driving is 1 in 5,494, and biking is 1 in 140,000. Most people want to know, how do you get back up after a jump? Well, it's usually manpower. I hung there until the crew pulled me back up. Jeremiah told me that he's tried a few other ways. One was using a winch. He said it was less strenuous, but took longer than using manpower. And he used a hanging rope ladder, which he said was actually pretty hard to climb after a jump, and that manpower still works the best. Thanks for joining me this week on Delightfully Different. Coming up next week, I'll talk to someone who studies psychedelic therapy retreats in Peru. Yes, I mean tripping. If you or someone you know lives life differently, email me. LexiOnTheRadio@gmail.com. That's LEXI on the radio at gmail.com, or go to DelightfullyDifferentPodcast.com and have a delightful week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on plant protection supplies now at Menards. Defend your garden with Triazicide Insect Killer. Its fast-acting formula protects lawns, vegetables, and many other plants. It kills more than 260 insects by contact, above and below ground. Choose from ready-to-spray, concentrate, or granular. Save big money on Triazicide Insect Killer at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.